years.
Yeah, until very recently.
Yeah, 1950.
Or women's rights, whatever you look at.
Yeah.
They've been violating all these rights.
Yes.
They've been doing all these crimes.
Yes.
And now they're criticizing other parts of the world.
Still doing.
And they're trying to overcompensate for everything.
Overcompensating, that's right.
Right?
Yeah.
So we see this hypocrisy everywhere, and they don't even catch up to their claims.
That's all right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Sadiq and Brother Ali, for your presence in the program. Viewpoints.
Thanks to you, brother.
Beautiful discussion on the concept of human rights as tackled by the leader of Iran, by the leader of the Islamic Ummah, Sayyid Ali Khamenei. It was very kind of you. And dear listeners, thank you very much for listening to us. Visit our website at parstoday.com/EN. You can download for free our previous episodes on this program too. Also visit our YouTube channel and Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause
I don't need anyone,
anything in life, but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Well,
وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salam alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Hossein Latifi, and you're listening to your program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. In this program, we talk about the concept of humanity and mankind in the Holy Quran. In the previous episode, we talked about the duality of soul and body, and then we ended up talking about different aspects of the soul. We talked about the heart, and we talked about intellect and reason. And as I found it very interesting, different verses of the Holy Quran and also the hadith that we have in the Islamic tradition at large from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and also the pure progeny of the Prophet Ahlul Bayt alayhim wasalam, we see different narrations and hadith in the interpretation of the concept of intellect and reason. What is intellect? That in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised. And what are the functions of this intellect? What are the signs of a person who possesses such intellect? And what are the differences between this faculty in a human being and other faculties or other dimensions of the soul, like the desires, like the concept of hawa, as we talked about it. So we ended up going through some of these ahadith and talk about the relationship they have with the verses. As we know, one major source for the interpretation of the Holy Quran is the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, according to the verses of the Holy Quran. وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. We have revealed to you the dhikr, which is the Holy Quran, لِتُبَيِّنَ, so that you explain to people. Quran assigns this role of interpretation to the Holy Prophet, and it's telling us to refer to the words and actions of the Holy Prophet in order to understand the verses of the Holy Quran. So the hadith that I have chosen to talk about in this episode is one beautiful hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, narrated by both Shia and Sunni schools of thought. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been quoted as saying, "Ma qasama Allahu lil ibad shay'an afdal min al-ard." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not distributed among people anything better than intellect. "Fanawm al-aqil afdal min sahr al-jahil." The sleep of a person who possesses intellect is better than the night that an ignorant person spends in prayer and in worship. So if you have intellect, if you have that rational capacity, that rational level of understanding, then even if you sleep, it's better than the person who does not have that aql. So we see that even from the content of the hadith, we know that this aql is not the usual aql that we think. Aql is sometimes, this person is smart, but he's an atheist. This smart and smartness, this kind of rationality is different than the aql that we have in al-hadith. And in this episode, we're going to see what this aql is. And that is truly the aql, and that is different than some deception or some confusion that some people have between intellect and the desires that they have. So the hadith says, "Fanawm al-aql, sleeping of a person who possesses aql, is better than a night or the nights that an ignorant person." Al-jahil, jahil means a person who either does not possess aql, intellect, or who does not possess knowledge. So, as we said in one of the episodes, in the Islamic tradition and in Arabic language, aql is an opposite of two words. Sometimes there's a contrast between aql and jahil. And jahl here means having no knowledge or having no reason, intellect. And sometimes jahl is contrasted between ilm, al-ilm wal-jahl. So jahl here does not mean a person who lacks knowledge. It means a person who does not have intellect. We will have a break and we come back to continue this beautiful hadith in different other phrases that it has.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. This is Hossein Latifi, and you're listening to a program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. We were reading a beautiful hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the position and meaning of aql in the Holy Quran and in the teachings of Islam. So the hadith continues saying, وَإِقَامَةُ الْعَقْلِ أَفْضَلْ مِنْ شُخُوسِ الْجَاهِلِ. If a person stays his life at home, it's better than a person who goes on journeys, either journeys in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or difficulties that people, especially in the past, had to go through when they had to go for expeditions here and there. So, shukhus means when you start a journey, especially in the deserts and you're alone, and especially people who wanted to have jihad and struggle in the way of Allah would do that. So the Prophet said, if you stay at home and you possess intellect, it's better than a person who does not have intellect and he starts a project. And this is obvious, this should be obvious, because a person who starts a project without thinking about it or without having proper knowledge and proper intellect, proper rational capacity to carry it out, he ends up worsening the situation more than he helps the situation. We actually have that hadith as well that says, any person who tries to do something, who tries to start a reform, but he does not have that necessary level of knowledge, he ends up destroying more than he ends up helping and constructing. Anyways, the hadith says, وَإِقَامَةَ الْعَقْلِ أَفْضَلْ مِنْ شُخُوسِ الْجَاهِلِ وَلَا بَعَثَ اللَّهُ نَبِيًّا وَلَا رَسُولًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not raised any prophet or apostle until that person has يَسْتَكْمِلُ الْعَقْلِ, has perfected the intellect. وَيَكُونَ عَقْلُهُ أَفْضَلْ مِنْ جَمِيعِ الْأُقُولِ. And it's only when a person arrives and reaches a point that his reason, his rational capacity, his faculty of thinking is the best among his nation, his people, من جميع قول أمته, is best in comparison to all other people, that will be the point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will choose him as the apostle or the prophet. وَمَا يَذْمَرُ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي نَفْزِهِ أَفْضَلْ مِنْ جَهَادِ something that a prophet, here the book has added sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it doesn't need it because it refers to the general concept of prophethood. The hadith says, divine prophet has something in mind, it's even better than the other actions that people do. See, we have this hadith even about mu'min, niyatul mu'min khayrun min amalih, something like this, that even the intention that some people have is better than the action of other people. Why? Because this intention, this plan is such a perfect project, such a perfect plan, that plan in itself is a very good one. Inshallah, we're going to talk about why this is the best and even better than the actions of some people. وَمَا أَدَّ الْعَبْدُ فَرَائِضَ اللَّهِ حَتَّى عَقَلَ أَنْ. And this will be the last part of this hadith that we cover in this episode. A person will not be able to fulfill the duties that he has in the religion of Allah until he has a sound, perfect, working intellect. And that is very important. It shows us the acts of worship that we do are not some habits that we should carry out. There are things that we should focus on, think about, and understand. Thank you very much for listening. Inshallah, in the next episode, we continue our discussion about the hadith, about the intellect and aql, and the relationship to the verses of the Holy Quran. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
صلى الله على محمد. صلى الله على النبي صلى الله على محمد وعلى آل النبي.
Thirty ayahs, 30 days. A monotheist person not only reflects on the Noble Quran, but also tries to explain the ayahs of this heavenly scripture to others and make them familiar with its teachings. Explicating of the Quranic teachings, first of all, was the duty of the Prophet and his infallible successors, peace be upon them. Every faithful person too, according to the extent that they had learnt from the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, embarked on this heavy duty. So the ulama or Muslim scholars took over this duty after the occultation of the 12th infallible successor of the Prophet, Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance, and have seriously continued this job until present day. Today this duty has become even more important because of a broad assault by the enemies against Islamic beliefs and humanity. In the 15th episode of our Ramadan special series, we're going to dwell upon the topic of victory of truth and defeat of falsehood, with a focus on Ayah 81 of Surah Al-Asra of the Holy Quran. Please stay with us. You may have heard that the Prophet of Islam said in part of his sermon on the virtues of the blessed month of Ramadan, "Devils are in chains in this month, so appeal to your Lord not to make them dominate over you. Devils are handcuffed and chained in this month to allow the servants of Allah to gain more of his banquet, to let them to recite Allah's book with contemplation. Devils are chained so that the Muslims pay more attention to their brothers in faith and all downtrodden oppressed people all over the world. Being in chain will weaken devils and their chief, Satan, in deceiving servants. Allah mentions a general law in Ayah 81 of Surah Al-Asra in the Holy Quran whilst addressing the Prophet. And say, the truth has come and falsehood is bound to vanish. Principally, falsehood is perishable by nature. Falsehood may show off as powerful for a while, but ultimately it won't stay, as victory is with the truth and its followers. This ayah speaks of a general principle and a definite divine tradition. Truth is the ultimate victor of all confrontations with falsehood. Falsehood may have an outward power and glory, but it is short-lived, and it will certainly perish. The reason for this is that falsehood is not in compliance and harmony with the laws and regulations of the universe. Falsehood is opposed to the laws of creation. It is fake and fabricated, but the truth is in the full compliance with the laws and regulations of creation. It is a matter of regret that every Muslim does not believe in this reality. However, falsehood dominating the world today is not everlasting, and it will soon perish, inshallah, God willing. We'll be right back. that many people do not believe that the domineering system is bound to perish is because the main symbol of this system, the United States, keeps manifesting itself as powerful, indomitable, and everlasting through propaganda and through media campaigns and enthralling the minds and hearts of the public. This is being done through the media, especially cinema and news agencies. Yet, a brief look at history and the current circumstances make it quite clear that this system is in decline. Britain was a country whose colonialism expanded from east to the west after the Industrial Revolution. This country ruled a vast empire in history, dominating a fifth of the world's population. It was said that the sun would never set on the British Empire. Britain had almost all commercial routes in its control. It had an invincible army and the largest navy in the world. Thus, no crime and massacring would occur anywhere in the world without some sort of British involvement. For instance, in the years 1917 to 1919, half of the Iranian population were killed with an artificial famine and imposed disease, especially cholera, which were the conspiracies of the British Kingdom in Iran. India had perhaps suffered more than any other country at the hands of the British colonialists. The British committed every sort of crime and massacre in the Indian subcontinent and pillaged that country for a century and a half. Amritsar tragedy was just one of these crimes. The British massacred 60,000 freedom-seeking peaceful Indians in a place called Jallianwala Bagh on 13th of April 1919 in the province of Punjab in northwest India. British forces fired and massacred all these innocent Indians in cold blood. However, the heinous crime led to the end of the British Empire. For sure, Britain today is no longer a powerful country, and it is currently grappling with innumerable economic problems, political and social crises. This has gone to the extent that even tiny countries, which used to be British colonies, have announced their independence from Britain. So not only the sun has set on the British Empire, but the empire itself is in decline. The United States of America, a country which turned into a superpower after the Second World War and built up NATO with the collaboration of its allies, has waged innumerable wars and committed unprecedented crimes across the world. The United States, which the founder of the Islamic Republic, the late Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, fittingly named as the Great Satan, started the huge expedition in West Asia with the spurious scenario of 11th of September 2001, the scenario which was an inside job according to many researchers, evidence and confessions of many politicians and experts. At that time, many pundits predicted a very dark and bleak era for the region in which the United States would become more powerful and mightier through looting of the natural resources of the West Asia region. But the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, maintained another point of view on regional developments. The Secretary General of the Lebanese Islamic Resistance Movement, Hezbollah, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, said about this differing viewpoint, "The US started expedition in the region in a way that other countries were assured that the region had entered the American age, and regional nations should witness the dominance and rule of the United States in the Middle East. They were even getting prepared for one or two countries of the US rule in the region and new wars like the Crusades. At that time, I took a trip to Iran and went to visit Ayatollah Khamenei to ask for his view on regional events and US entering the Middle East. At that time, the conditions were so critical that some Iranian officials came to him and consulted him on establishing relations with the United States, saying, "We should seek compromise and reconciliation with the United States." Due to his strategic viewpoint, Ayatollah Khamenei would reject these requests and stress that the circumstances were not to the benefit of the Americans. "Don't worry, the United States has reached its climax, and from now on we should expect the fall and decline of this country, particularly failure in its designs in this region." Today, God's promise of the defeat of falsehood is visible more than ever before in many nations, even in Europe, and they're seeking to separate themselves from declining US power. For example, the European Union has tried since 2013 to attain independence from the United States, and this has expanded to the political and economic realms as well. The President of France, Emmanuel Macron, in March of 2024 said the European Union should stop hanging on to the US, since the big threat for Europe is to be trapped in crises that are not ours.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant factor.
Imamat yek asl zinda ast dar tarikh Islam.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qaraati. Please stay tuned. In the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 205, we read, "If he were to wield authority, he would try to cause corruption in the land and to ruin the crop and the stock, and Allah does not like corruption." Islam bans the people from spitting on a fruit tree, urinating on a tree, and to put the garbage in the rivers. It is very much good for a Muslim to rethink about his behaviors during the springtime when the nature becomes new again. We must take a deep look to our past to see whether we solve the problems of people or not.
دیدن خودمونم بریم ببینیم احوالمون چطوره.
In better words, springtime is a good chance to visit ourselves again. Besides visiting the relatives and friends in the new year, we must reflect upon our own actions too. There must be always this question in our minds that, how could I be a better Muslim in such and such behavior? New Year for a Muslim must be full of reflection upon past and self-correction. We must learn many lessons from springtime and nature as a Muslim. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qarati. To find out more about this program, please log on to our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
السلام عليك يا أمين.
Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother.
Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. This is To My Brother, and I'm your host, Mehdi. It's great to have all of you here, and today we want to talk about a character who not only influenced Muslims across the world, but influenced many non-Muslims as well. This great personality is the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace and blessings upon him. Imam Ali alayhi salam was brought up under the care of the Holy Prophet Muhammad when he was just a small child. And so in this manner, the foundation of the moral and spiritual education of this magnificently intelligent child was based by the Prophet of Islam himself, the greatest educator of all mankind. Imam Ali's mental faculties were to an extent that he believed in the Holy Prophet and his mission at the tender age of 8. Therefore, Imam Ali, contrary to the other companions of the Holy Prophet, had never worshipped idols and never partook in the unreasonable demands, the oppressive actions, or the unjust acts of the Arab chieftains. Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the programs to my brother, and we are discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. So, dear friends, again, the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam, a beautiful persona indeed, this persona which radiates with the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this beautiful manifestation of the teachings of the Holy Quran and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And of course, we are also in the holy month of Ramadan, the month in which the divinely appointed Imam, Imam Ali alayhi salam, really encouraged the believers to take this month seriously. We find when we're talking about the persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam is that His Eminence, very rarely do we find that he went and he complained or whined about the problems and difficulties that he was facing in His Eminence's life. Now, of course, we find that the difficulties that Imam Ali alayhi salam faced, they were very severe difficulties and severe trials on many various different levels, and something that perhaps we should talk about in our programs later on, if Allah wills. But there's this aspect that you never saw him whine or complain to somebody else about these trials and difficulties. And yes, there are instances, for example, we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam would go to the wells in the depth of the night, and he would weep in these wells because he did not have anybody to be able to talk about these certain aspects that needed to come out, but there was no companion. And of course, this is an incident that occurred after the martyrdom of Lady Fatimatu Zahra, peace and blessings upon her, because when she was alive, she was a companion whom Imam Ali alayhi salam could speak with and share his sorrows. But the point here, which I'm getting to, is that Imam Ali alayhi salam, you know, you don't find him, you know, lamenting about his problems all the time out loud. And this is a part of perhaps the traditions that speak about how Imam Ali says that sorrow lies within the heart of a believer, but not necessarily not on his face, right? So this idea that what we just talked about is that one should not always be complaining and whining out loud and lamenting about the sorrows and griefs. Everybody, dear friends, is facing some sort of sorrow or grief or some kind of sadness or trial or difficulty or tribulation or calamity or tragedy. Everybody is facing these things, right? And if everybody started to lament and cry and whine and complain about all these things that are happening to each one of us, the world would be an incredibly depressing and, you know, sad place to live in, if you can imagine, for a little while. But Islam teaches us to be cheerful, to try to be patient, be steadfast, to keep that aspect of grief within our hearts. Now, just before we end, because we've probably run out of time, unfortunately, is that this does not mean that we don't talk to somebody. We should be able to have, you know, first and foremost, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then the infallible and immaculate household, well, the Messenger of Allah and his Ahlul Bayt, peace and blessings upon them all. But apart from them, you know, if need be, we need to have some kind of a intimate friend, an individual that we trust, that we rely on, upon whom, you know, every now and then when it's absolutely necessary, we talk about our grief and we talk about the things that are bothering us so that we are alleviated somewhat from this pain. But to be constantly lamenting and whining, that is something that is not appropriate. A very comprehensive lesson brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. At this moment, we invite you to listen to parts of the Arabic text of Ziyarat Aminullah along with its English translations. Please stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma fastajib du'ayi واقبل ثناي واجمع بيني وبين أوليائك بحق محمد.
O Allah, give favorable answer to my prayer. Acknowledge the praise I sign in worship. Let there be peace and harmony between me and my friends for the sake of Muhammad, Ali, Fatima, Al-Hassan and Al-Hussein. Verily, thou art my benefactor who provides with bounties, the aim of my desires, the ultimate destination of my hopes in my future life and during this short life. Thou art my God, my Master and my Lord. Welcome my friends, keep our enemies away from us. To save us from the evil mischief, divert their attention. Let the true world come out in the open, supreme and dominant. Refute and condemn the fully, rendered contemptible. Verily, thou art able to do all things.
Innaka ala kulli shay'in qadeer.
And now we invite you to listen to Fayyaz Ja'far.
In terms of understanding then, what exactly did the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam say toward Malik al-Ashtar in terms of taking over the importance of this position as the governor of Egypt? We have to understand that the Imam and all of the Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, they set down very unique guidelines, first of all, in regards toward people who took positions of leadership. You go toward Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, he has what is known as the rights of the leader. When you go toward a letter by Imam Ali ibn Musa Rida alayhi salam, he writes a letter toward Harun al-Rashid in which he advises him about what it means toward being a leader. When you go toward the advices of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam on the day of Ashura that he uttered toward the army of Umar ibn Sa'd, he explained toward them the role and the responsibilities of taking positions of leadership. But again, nothing is perhaps more eloquent than these words of the commander of the faithful toward Malik al-Ashtar. And he tries to advise his companion, and in reality, we can take lessons from every single one of his advices in terms of how he should be amongst those who win the hearts of the people. What makes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, what made Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam so lovable? What made these individuals so polarizing that everyone looked toward them, wanted to spend time with them? Is because they were human beings. They didn't demonstrate themselves with this garb of superiority when they walked with people. They were the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, my friends. They were the owners of the universe. Yet they still would hang out, they would eat, they would talk, they would make jokes. When people would come from Kufa toward visiting Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, the Imam would make jokes, he would converse, he would be sarcastic with them. The first conversations that he would have with them is, you know, how's it going? What type of work do you do? When the guy would say, I'm a fruit vendor, he would tell them, and what's the cost of peaches and what's the cost of oranges? He would make small talk with people. He was someone who opened up his heart. The Imams of Ahlul Bayt opened up their heart in order to create an access point, an entry point for everyone around them to engage with. And when we go towards seeing the instruction of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam toward Malik al-Ashtar, amongst the main themes and advices that he gives them in terms of being a leader is telling him, oh Malik, know that you have a responsibility where people have to be receptive to you. And if people love you, they're going to follow whatever you have to say. But if people don't love you, well, they're going to write a lot of mean emails about you. Another piece of advice given by Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam toward Malik al-Ashtar, he says, oh Malik, in the same way that you look at leaders, people will look at you. What do you mean, oh Amir al-Mu'mineen? In the same way that you scrutinize leaders, you scrutinize people who take positions on the member, giving talks, reciting poetry, taking positions of community leadership, whatever it might be, know that people will scrutinize you. And the same way that you speak about leaders, people are going to speak about you. So get ready for all of the bad things that you're about to hear from people. But at the same time, know that you don't want anyone to use that sort of language and use that sort of rhetoric, so be two steps ahead. In reality, Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam demonstrates such concern for Malik al-Ashtar. Why? Because again, if we take a look at it from the context of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam, who was more scrutinized than Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi? Every walk, every word, every step of the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, he had Muawiyah from one side, he had these guys from the other side, he had a third group from the other side, watching his every step. And he's trying to tell Malik al-Ashtar, oh Malik, know that in the same way that you look at people or that you looked at people, people are going to look at you. So when you assume the position of responsibility, then be careful the way that you speak, and be careful the way that you dress, and be careful the way that you converse with people. And every single movement of yours, everyone is going to observe. Just because of the throne or the chair that you're sitting on, just because of the garb that you're wearing, and every single misstep that you make might potentially be a problem for you. And in reality, we see that in reality, every single day, we do the same exact thing. We as people within our own communities, but in reality, that's exactly what people, in terms of their essential nature, do.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
alongside Iranians in Nowruz. Hello everyone, today is the 7th day of Nowruz or Iranian New Year holidays. Congratulations on this ancient Iranian feast. As we have promised you, today we will speak about the customs of Nowruz of the people of southern Iran, namely the three provinces of Khuzestan, Bushehr and Hormozgan. Stay with us. As you may know, spreading the half-seen tablecloth is customary among almost all Iranians. However, in some regions of Iran, this tablecloth is called the half-meme, since it contains seven items whose names begin with the Farsi letter meme, which corresponds to the English letter M. The things that are put in this tablecloth are mahi or fish, megu or shrimp, miveh or fruit, morg or chicken, murabba or jam, mast or yogurt, and masghati, which is a kind of sweet. It should also be reminded that according to historical texts, they used to put other divine bounties like wheat, barley and the like on the half-meme table. Moreover, other items are also seen in Bushehr province tablecloths, such as qarapich and bibi gol, two kinds of local sweets. Bushehr is one of the beautiful cities in southwestern Iran, especially at springtime. Another custom among the local people in Bushehr is that they milk the sheep before the turn of the year to make yogurt. This timetabling should be planned in a way that yogurt is ready before the turn of the new year. Another interesting custom in Bushehr province is called Shekarrizi. On the last Wednesday of the year, mothers put a spoonful of sugar in the hands of their children and ask them to pour it into the sea. They maintain that this will sweeten the sea, hence making the sea satisfied with the literal inhabitants. Another belief is that the pouring of sugar in the sea will ward off the curse of evil eyes. People of Khuzestan province, like many other provinces in Iran, have kept the customs of making samanu for Nowruz, the Iranian New Year. In the cities of Shushtar, Dezful and Behbahan, this custom is held more seriously. Some 10 to 15 days before Nowruz or the Iranian New Year, local women and girls and relatives gather to shred fresh sprouts and prepare huge pots. Then they pray over the pots till morning. They believe that finally, in the hand of the Prophet's daughter, Lady Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, will sweeten the samanu. The people of Hormozgan province too plant wheat, corn, peas and mung bean in different dishes several weeks before Nowruz. They used to plant date seeds too. As you may remember, Nowruz Khani is one of the customs that are common in some regions of Iran. The people of Hormozgan province also are fond of the poems composed and sung in Nowruz Khani. Even the children, aged 13 and older, spend the last day of their holidays, or Sizdavedar, with these songs. These songs are also chanted on the last Wednesday of the year, or Charshanbe Suri. People of this province also perform Eid prayers too. Like most people in the country, they try to start the new Iranian year wearing new clothes. Khane Tekani, or house cleaning, is also done in Hormozgan province, just like other provinces in Iran. In view of this, villagers usually take their carpets and straw mats to rivers, but the people in cities have their carpets washed by carpet washing centers. Again, like many people in different regions of the country, people of Hormozgan province usually change the house decorations to create diversity for the new year. The Nowruz foods and sweets of the people of southern Iranian provinces are also diverse and tasty. Qalya Mahi and Megu are the delicious food and popular foods in southern Iran, especially in the cities of Bandar Abbas and Bushehr. Basically, seafood comprises the bulk of the food and cuisine in southern Iran. Qalya Mahi and Megu is a source of stew and is often made and served in ceremonies and happy events, like Nowruz, and religious feasts. The ingredients of this food are as follows: fish or shrimp, shredded vegetables, coriander, dill, leek, and mint and onion, tamarind, tomato paste, edible oil, and different spices. This food is colorful and very fragrant due to a variety of vegetables and spices. Moreover, it is very sour because of the tamarind used in the cooking. This stew is usually served with rice. As for the sweets of Nowruz in southern Iran, mention could be made of balalit. This sweet is usually made of vermicelli. The people of Bushehr province serve this tasty sweet with eggs or fish. Sometimes they use date syrup instead of sugar to make the sweet. As you know, the Nowruz holidays end on the 13th of Farvardin, which usually corresponds to 1st of April with Sizdabedar tradition in nature. This is a cultural commonality all over Iran. The people of Hormozgan province usually go to gardens, villages, or places of pilgrimage, which are mainly the tombs of descendants of the Prophet of Islam, called Imamzadeh in Iran. In Hormozgan province, people have their lunch along the coast of the Persian Gulf and the Sea of Oman, and children sometimes bathe in the waters of the Persian Gulf. Sadly, we have to wrap up today's program. Next time, we will travel to the city of Shiraz in Fars province and make you familiar with some of the customs on the occasion of Nowruz in this great Iranian city. Until then, goodbye and God bless.
انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
الله يا الله سبحان الله الله يا الله والحمد لله الله ولا إله إلا الله الله يا الله والله أكبر.
July 12, 1983. Place Hosseiniya Jamaran, Tehran. Subject: Revelation of the Teachings and the Truth for More Understanding. They imagine they are prostrating before the idol. They imagine that they are eulogizing a human being. They imagine they are worshiping the sun, whereas all praises are from him. All are also praising him, and they perceive not. The problems that the person faces in the afterlife are because of this same foolishness, and for this reason there is a curtain between a human being and the truth.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear audience. Welcome to a new episode of Spring of the Truth from IRIB English Radio.